The time he's not back anymore. He left this one. Only made it through 16 long.
I hope you had a birdie as well. Let's check his card. I've never heard before.
I'd like to call the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority Board meeting of May 23rd to order. Marlene, will you please take the roll?
Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Redd?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Director Towns?
Here.
Director Weissman?
Here.
Director Banks?
Here.
Director Darcy?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. As you can see, the chair is out to pre-roll today, so I'm filling in her absence. Did express that she would be looking in on the video of our meeting and was looking forward to a lively debate today and lots of questions. So, hello, Paula, through there. I'd like to see if there's any public comment. I'm not aware of any today. No public comment. Okay. I'd like then to move for approval of the minutes of the board meeting and executive session held on March 28, 2013 and April 25th, 2013. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We have two board committee reports today. I'll give the finance committee report and then we have customer service. The finance committee met last week on May 15th. Finance presented first quarter financial results. The revenue for the first quarter exceeded projections by about $3.3 million. Operation spending was about $3.7 million under budget, and capital spending was below estimates by about $57 million. Mike Kelch will present the results in greater detail later in this meeting. Procurement presented five items which were approved by the committee. There was a rescission of a resolution of an order against the CMS master contract for rear-wheel drive vehicles. The second item was an award of a tollway contract for all-wheel drive police pursuit vehicles. So instead of Chevys, 76 Chevys, we're going to get 91 Fords, all four-wheel drive. They're going to be assembled here in the south suburbs. So it turned out to be better value and better miles per gallon and the safety, better safety and better performance of those cars too. So the third item was an emergency replacement of two vehicle hoists that were replaced. And then the fourth item was awarded two tollway sole source contracts for building automation maintenance and web e-commerce. Unisys was the main provider of proprietary software and maintenance. And that contract was awarded. Engineering presented five items. Four of these items were placed on today's consent agenda. The fifth, concerning land acquisition, will be discussed in the executive session later today. The first item was construction of a construction contract award for the replacement of the communications tower on the All-SIP maintenance yard of the Tri-State Tollway. It's about a 200-foot communications tower. Yeah, the good news was, or is, that we are leasing out space on that tower. It's going to generate over about $1 million a year. The second item was supplement to one of the construction management contracts. The work being performed is on a section of I-88. It's about $159,000 award for some scope that was left out of the contract, but I was reassured that the costs were basically not anything extra or out of the ordinary. It just was scope that wasn't included. The third item was an extra work order for a section of noise wall. There were some consistencies in the contract specs. IDOT was overseeing that project. Design showed a noise wall, but was not mounted on the bridge. Again, we're not paying anything extra that we would above and beyond what the normal cost of that replacement would be in repair. The last two items related to land acquisition. One was to increase the funds available for land acquisition work in I-90. The program budget includes funding for this work. As design details are finalized, there may be need to further increase the funding for the current increase. But the current increase is necessary. It allows us to continue work at this time. The last item was a statutory requirement to describe property that may need to be acquired by condemnation. The parcels being described inside are related to work on Elm Hurst Road interchange along I-90. These items will be discussed in executive session later today. Legal had three items. There was an intergovernmental agreement with the FAA in connection with the Elgin O'Hare. FAA is now ready to begin performance of engineering work to ensure that their regulations are complied with. The tollway has given the proximity, because of the proximity to the airport, O'Hare, the work has always been contemplated and budgeted for. And we'll cover FAA civil, electrical, mechanical, environmental engineering work on this project. The tollway will reimburse the FAA for all costs associated with the work, estimated to be around $316,000. This is the maximum cost associated with this work at this time. They will give us quarterly updates as we move forward. The second IGA was with the Village of New Lenox along I-355 regarding the improvement of Route 6, which requires the village to enter certain access control space owned by the tollway. There is no cost to the tollway for this. The third item was approval of bond council assignments for potential near-term refunding transactions. The matter was discussed in executive session at the April board meeting. Assignments will be Chapman and Cutler as bond council, Burke, Burns, Pinelli as the issuer's counsel, and a recommendation of Ship Hardin LLP as the underwriter's counsel. Any questions? There being none, then we would need a board committee report from the Customer Service Committee.
Thank you. The Customer Service Committee met a week ago on the 16th. At that meeting, we went through rather diverse area of subjects, but we reviewed the customer service center improvements based off of issues that were brought up at the previous meeting, and reviewed some of the changes that have already been implemented and some of the things that are going on as far as operations there to address some of the customer service issues and moving people along in the service center. We also talked about the 30-day notice transition. Previously, we had talked about changing from the current system of providing notice on to a 30-day notice to allow people the opportunity to come up to speed a little bit quicker and provide some more continuity. We are finishing up the evaluations in-house on that, and we have language currently pending at JCAR to allow us to make that change. Settlement guidelines. We had talked about in the past kind of the providing greater latitude to allow for us to enter into settlement agreements with some of our people that have come into non-compliance with our charges. We took a look at criteria that would be, number one, revenue neutral, and base it on some type of measurable criteria so that we met the legal standards in order to do this and allow us to inject some common sense into the process. The committee did, after reviewing those, provide approval of some guidelines that we directed staff to take a look at, and currently those are with legal to put pen to paper, dot the I's and cross the T's, and come back with a policy that will then come before this board. Fleet policies. We've been talking about updates to the fleet policies, and we got a review of some of the things that are being changed on the website right now to allow some communication and provide greater information to fleets in their maintenance of their fleet operations. And starting in the fall, there will be focus groups and work that's going forward to obtain the best practices that are being utilized in the industry for that, so that we can begin implementing those and be more fleet friendly. Then we moved on to the topic that many of you are aware of, the Indiana fee that I know that information went out to the board since the last meeting. And just as kind of a reminder, when Illinois entered into the agreement of reciprocity and working with the iZoom customers, it allows for, as people use our transponders on the iZoom systems, for them to collect a 3-cent cost for the recovery, charge it back, and vice versa. Now, we have
always done that and just kind of eaten that cost, or it's been part of our overhead and our determination of what the value is and the tolling cost. iZoom in Indiana, who's privatized their system, has now taken that charge, and people with iPass that are going through on the Indiana Tollway or on the Chicago Skyway, see if it's a $1.50 toll, they get the $1.50 plus the 3 cent charge that's passed along. They don't eat any of that, or they don't incorporate that into their overhead cost. So the question that was then presented is one of kind of a fundamental fairness and evaluating where we stand on that. It's interesting to note, because of the fact that we are the primary provider of transponders in the area, or have many more customers, on the Indiana system, it results in about a recovery of about $1.5 million in cost to them. For us, it's about $95,000 a year. So we took a look at it, and a couple of issues. Number one, the authority for this recovery is clearly there under the agreement that we entered into with contract with iZoom. The question that we raised in the committee is whether or not, number one, Indiana has the authority to actually pass along that additional charge, or whether that's supposed to be part of the tolls that they pass, you know, their original stated toll amount. And the other question was, because at first glance, it appears that the only system that Indiana makes this demand on are Illinois customers. So the issue was presented, and we, as a committee, asked, number one, to verify from Indiana whether indeed that's the case, whether or not this is across the board charge that they're passing along to all other customers outside their jurisdiction where it's allowed. And number two, then we asked whether or not there's legal authority for them to have this additional charge under their tolling structure that CentOS has as the private entity that runs that operation. At the next meeting, we're asking to have that evaluation done, or that analysis done, and at that point we'll be able to take a look at, number one, the legal authority, and then number two, our proposed options and where we stand on that, the options that are available to us. That's all I have.
Thank you, Director. Mike, Executive Director, reports.
Thank you, Director. As most of you know, I'm subbing in for Christy today, who is the proud mother of James Felicio Rosales, a new baby boy, 7 pounds, 9 ounces, for those who are interested in that sort of thing. But mother and baby are doing very well. A few housekeeping items before we begin today. First, it is my pleasure to announce that we will once again host a Portrait of a Soldier Memorial exhibit at our Oases from Memorial Day through the Independence Day weekend. The Portrait of a Soldier exhibit is a traveling display of hand-sketched portraits of 297 of the 306 Illinois men and women who have died in service to our country since September 11th, 2001. The exhibit was founded by Governor Pat Quinn, who has been a longtime advocate of Veterans Affairs, service members, and their families throughout his career in public service. The exhibit will be on display at the Des Plaines Oases this Memorial Day weekend from Saturday, May 25th through Sunday, June 2nd. It will then travel to 5 other oases, ending at the Lake Forest Oasis on Independence Day weekend. And if you haven't had a chance to view this exhibit, it's quite inspiring, and I invite everyone out to view the exhibit. You can see the full schedule of where it is at our website at www.illinoistollway.com. I'm also very pleased to tell you that a couple more honors came the Tollway's way, both of which reflect well on our commitment to diversity. At a ceremony last night in Springfield, our EEO officer, Lisa Williams, picked up the 2013 Agency of the Year Award from the Interagency Committee on Employees with Disabilities, or ICE.
Congratulations.
Lisa Williams. The ICE Agency of the Year Award recognizes Illinois government agencies for hiring people with disabilities, as well as developing innovative programs and providing accommodations to assist those employees. The TOLE was selected for its outstanding affirmative action record in employing people with disabilities, including recruitment, hiring, and accommodation practices. Lisa and her staff have done a great job of coming up with ways to improve access to employment opportunities for people with disabilities and accommodating their needs once they're on the payroll. We certainly appreciate the recognition, and thank you to Lisa and her staff and everyone who has contributed to helping her deliver on the commitment to a diverse workforce. Another award to us from the Cosmopolitan Chamber of Commerce, one of the nation's oldest minority business and trade organizations. The Chamber has selected Gustavo Geraldo, our Chief of Diversity and Strategic Development, to receive its 2013 Special Recognition Award.
Thank you.
The award honors an individual who has been given consistent support to the Cosmopolitan Chamber through advocacy and commitment to minority business development. Gustavo was chosen for his active leadership, support, and involvement with the minority business community. The award ceremony will be held this coming October during the Chamber's 80th anniversary celebration in Chicago. We certainly applaud Gustavo for his well-deserved recognition. He and his staff have been working hard to promote diversity and opportunities for disadvantaged minority and women-owned businesses. Congratulations, Gustavo. A few items were not quite ready at the committee level, and you will see presentations today to present them for your approval. You might recall that last April 2012, we agreed that for a period of 12 months, we would not present to the board CMS-led procurements for the tollway that are less than $250,000, and instead provide them to you as informational items. I hope you agree that it's an initiative that saved this board a lot of time and has worked well, so that we can better focus on higher priority procurements and other important issues. And then we'll be asking for your permission to renew that program today. Also today, we will be seeking your authorization to have the TOLE's Chief of Staff sign off and approve work on settlements. Currently, those settlements require the Executive Director's approval before being submitted to board. Also, there are some workers' compensation items that don't go to board that we need to move forward in her absence. We are requesting to change the policy so that I can manage these matters in Christie's absence. And finally, we will be seeking renewal of the Trump agreement, and Shauna Whitehead will be presenting your approval today. And now I'm pleased to announce Mike Kausch, our Chief of Finance, who will be responsible for first quarter of 2015.
Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
The board hasn't won any awards, good results nonetheless. The first quarter of the fiscal year 2013, which is the same as the calendar year, did go well, very close to the budget in many areas, which is a good start to the fiscal year. Starting with toll revenue totaled $212 million, which was on target with what we budgeted for the year. As you can see from this slide, passenger car transactions did decline from last year, but we did have one less day in the first quarter of 2013 than we did in 2012 because of the leap year in 2012. It was less than what we had projected for 2013. However, commercial vehicles were higher than what we had expected, and offset that for the first quarter. In terms of an explanation for that, it does appear that when we went back and we looked at the number of winter weather events that we had in the first quarter of last year versus the first quarter of 2013, that we did have a larger number of winter weather events that had impacted some of the rush hours and so forth, and had, we think, some negative impact on the passenger vehicles. Evasion recovery actually totaled $14.6 million. This was $3.9 million greater than what we had projected for the first quarter. So I would say that this is the one significant variance that we've had in the first quarter revenue side.